Happy Pi Day. I hope this message finds you well. It's been a while since we've heard that or read that in an email. It's been a year of unprecedented times. I'm just rehashing all the phrases that we coined in this last year. It's been a year of unprecedented times to the point where we've set new precedents and we roll with it as we go, right? We learn to adapt and we learn new habits and whatnot. Quick question, Tony and Danielle, you guys were still meeting for lunch out at Panera, right, in Sunnydale?
Today, no. We're having lunch down the road.
Oh, fun. Okay. Well, so, but meeting for lunch still?
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe after lunch, you know, grab a pie and everyone sit around in a circle to share, but make sure you're 6 feet apart. So that's what, 36 pi square feet you'd be occupying? Sorry, math lesson. I'm glad to see that you've all survived daylight savings time and that you're all here on time. I do want to start this morning by addressing those who are worshiping with us online. So I guess I should look at the camera. Notice I didn't say those that are watching online. I said purposely those that are worshiping with us online. You're not watching. You're not watching a video. You are worshiping with us as you join with us. You're not a spectator. You're an active participant. And to those that are joining online, worshiping online, I've talked to several of you over the last few weeks. And one takeaway that I have from these conversations is that worshiping online, especially now that we're not in a Zoom meeting where we can interact with each other afterwards, it's even harder than before. Worshiping online is harder than before. There's no accountability, no one to make sure that you're actually joining in. And, you know, because it's easy to just, you know, I'll watch it later because the videos get uploaded. Some weeks, the guy who does the videos does them the same day and you have it Sunday evening. Some days, the guy's really slow. I don't think last week's videos are posted yet, so I'll have a talk with him afterwards. And, you know, here's the thing, right? There's no accountability if you're at home on your own. There's no one to make sure that you're joining in live. You're not being seen on camera, so it's easy to just, you know, do whatever. But, you know, before at least we could see who was signing in, right? But now it's like we don't know who's joining or who's not. And I think faced with all these difficulties of worshiping online, I think it's the responsibility really is on you if you're joining in online to overcome distractions and to overcome the temptations to just run the video in the background, right? It's and here's the thing, don't do it for me, do it for the Lord. I hope you guys don't feel awkward that I keep looking at the camera, but a big part of this is for those who are worshiping online. You know, do this for the Lord. Come to the meeting, and as you're worshiping online, come with this understanding that you're coming to worship the Lord. You're coming to meet with God. Give Him the reverence that He is due. I think that will inform a great part of how you join these meetings. Are you just going to lie in bed? There's nothing in the Bible that says you cannot. I mean, Jesus and His disciples reclined around the dining area, so, you know, you can use that as an excuse. But give God the reverence that He is due. Do whatever you need to get out of that mentality of, I'm just watching a video, or I'm just listening to a podcast while I go about my Sunday morning, or whenever it is that you finally get to watching the video. And I understand for some people, even when we were in person, it was difficult to engage. It was difficult to focus. And the temptation is, even in person sometimes, the temptation is to just kind of tune out and you know, be scrolling on your phone and be browsing whatever. And if that's what you were used to doing in person, then just think of how much harder it is to focus when you're on your own at home, sitting in front of a video screen. You could be opening multiple tabs. You have multiple devices around you. Who knows what's going on? My point is this. Again, don't do it for me just because I'm saying this. I don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But do it for God. Fear God and have that healthy respect for God. And I would say for those that are local, who are worshiping with us online, I can propose an easy solution to overcome these difficulties of worshiping online. Can anybody guess what the solution is? Come and join us. Come and join us. It's easy to overcome those distractions if you're here in person. It helps. It really helps. And, you know, Alicia is helping with set up and tear down, and she's helping with wiping all the chairs, making sure they're clean. She needs more work. She needs more work. So if you come, we'll have to set up more chairs, and then she'll have more hours to fill for... Do it for Alicia, if nothing else. All right? And... But no, do it for yourself. And the sooner that you can come back together in person, the better. It's good for you, and it's, again, do it for yourself. Do it for reverence to the Lord. And I understand there are some who still need to stay at home, and I respect that. There's different needs with different people. For those who need to stay at home, I pray, may the Lord draw you into that spirit of worship as you're at home, that you don't feel like you're just disconnected and watching a video. And so on that note, would you all join with me to pray this morning? Jesus, we pray, Lord. We want to pray this morning for this time as we gather together, Lord, that you would meet with us here and meet with those who are at home. And we want to pray especially for those who are meeting and joining with us online at home. Lord, that you would bless them with your presence, Lord, that they would know that you are worthy of our reverence, and that you would draw them into your presence, Lord, and that you would meet with them as they're in front of the devices, that they would be able to engage with you, Lord, and may this worship be personal to them. And Lord, this morning we also want to continue to pray for Sandy's brother Todd. We thank you. We thank you for the miracles that you have been performing in his life. We want to continue, Lord, to pray for his health, for his well-being. We know, Lord, that he's not out of the woods yet, and so we pray that you would continue your work of healing on him. We also pray, Lord, that as he has days, Lord, as he continues to draw breath, Lord, that you would speak to him. Lord, that you would touch his heart, soften his heart to hear, Lord, your words. Help him to see whose hand it was that brought him out of the miry clay. We pray all these things, Jesus, this morning in your name. And we ask again that you would meet with us, Lord, and speak to us. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this morning with reading a few different scripture passages from the Old Testament. If you want to follow along to, you know, the Bible Flipping Challenge, you can. You don't have to. I'm just going to go through them real quick. Tell me at some point if you start to notice a common theme among these verses. First, we're going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 12, verses 8 to 9. Deuteronomy 12, 8 to 9. You shall not at all do as we are doing here today, every man doing what is right in his own eyes, for as yet you have not come to the rest and the inheritance which the Lord your God is giving you. Do I need to read that again, or we're good? We're good, okay. Judges, next passage is from Judges, chapter 17. Judges 17, 5-6. The man Micah had a shrine and made an ephod and household idols, and he consecrated one of his sons who became his priest. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Next passage from Judges chapter 21, verses 24 to 25. So the children of Israel departed from there at that time, every man to his tribe and family. They went out from there, every man to his inheritance. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Starting to catch a pattern? Two more. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Proverbs 21, verse 2, last passage. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. You caught the pattern by now, that every man was doing what was right in his own eyes. Everybody figuring out what was good by their own standards, doing what they felt was right in their own eyes. This is the way of the world. The world, every person finding his own path to quote-unquote spiritual enlightenment. Every person defining his own happiness, defining his own heaven, if I may say that. Every person molding their own God to worship. And many times that God is not even a spiritual deity or a spirit. Sometimes those gods are ideas, they're concepts, they are material things many times, possessions, whatever you, anything that is not Jehovah God. People find a way to craft their own gods to worship. Everyone doing what was right in his own eyes. You know, one of the burdens that we had on our heart when we started Porch Light was there was this hope in our hearts that we wanted to show people. We wanted to show people when they come to that realization in their life, when they come to that realization finally, that the dream that they've been chasing is empty. Our hope is that we would have a place to show people that there is still hope. There is always still hope. Hope in God. And that's what we wanted to do with Porch Light. And look, it's easy. It's easy here in the valley especially to feel like you've made it. It's easy with all the success and all the things that are happening. It's easy to feel like you've made it here. You know, 2016, that was quite a tremendous year for us. It was a year that we spent in prayer. Majority of that year, we spent praying, seeking the Lord, because the Lord started speaking to us about starting this ministry. We started in 2017. So 2016 was kind of like laying the foundations. And the Lord was speaking, we were praying, we were seeking His will. And there was this burden that was put on our hearts to, as we were starting this ministry. And that same year, I remember in 2016, that same year, there was a news of this Apple employee, if you guys remember this. There was an Apple employee who went into one of the conference rooms on the Apple campus and killed himself. It was, you know, it was kind of shocking. And the amazing thing was, within 24 hours, that stuff got wiped from the news. Apple has tremendous control over what goes out and what doesn't. But we heard of this, that there was this person, young person, and you would think, right, you're living in a Silicon Valley. You're working for Apple, right? It's one of those FAANG companies, Facebook, Apple, Netflix, Google. Sorry. And you know, you think you've made it big, right? You're set for life if you're working for one of these companies. Why would he do this? And I remember that incident really resonated with our hearts, that it doesn't matter if you've got it made in the world. It could very well be that you're still empty inside. And that's what God tells us. And so the burden really was on our hearts to be here. God wanted Porch Light to be a place where people can go to slow down and to find Him. To get away from all the tech. And it's funny because now we have brought all this tech back. But still, you know, we're trying to help people to just slow down, to come and spend time with the Lord, to really draw into His presence, to not always be going so fast and, you know, however many miles per hour you want to equate it to slow down and find God when that realization hits. That all that glitters around you is not gold, and a lot of it is not yours. That's what was on our hearts when we started Porch Light. Now, it's easy. It's easy when we think about everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. It's easy when we think about it to think that we're talking about only the people who don't know God. When we say this, everyone doing what was right in their own eyes, it's easy to think we're only talking about people who don't know God. Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 10. We're continuing in our study of Romans. Romans chapter 10, we're going to read the first four verses. Romans chapter 10, this is what Paul writes. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. What you can see here, what Paul's writing here, he's writing about the Israelites. Clear as day, he's writing about the Israelites. And he says, I bear them witness. I can testify to them that they have a zeal for God because he is an Israelite. He was one of the Pharisees. He knows how passionately the Pharisees were pursuing God. He knew that they had a zeal. He was one of them. But he says, I can bear witness that they had a zeal, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. It's important to know, again, what Paul says, that the Israelites had a zeal for God. They had a passion for God. They were not a godless people, right? They worshiped Jehovah God, not a false God. They worshiped the one true God. They had a zeal for God and a passion for God, and in their own minds, they had an idea, an understanding of what it is that God had commanded. And so what they did was they took their own understanding of it, of what God commanded, and they ran with it. Now, we understand now, Scripture has revealed to us that the law was given for pointing out to us our sinful nature, right? It is the perfect standard to which we would compare ourselves and see we can't reach it. We are to see from looking at the law our sinful nature, and the law was meant to reveal to us our fallen life, and it was meant to point us to Jesus as our salvation. That was the purpose of the law. But instead of looking to Jesus, the Israelites, they looked at the law and they focused solely on how they can fulfill it perfectly. And as Paul writes, seeking to establish their own righteousness. They were looking to do what they can to fulfill and establish their own righteousness. If you remember what happened to the Israelites in the wilderness, remember that time when they were gluttonous and, you know, they were complaining about what they had to eat and didn't have. And so the Lord said, fine, I'm going to give you all the food you want. And afterwards, they were bitten by serpents. And if you remember the account there, they were bitten by serpents, fiery serpents, and all of them were poisoned. And the solution, as Moses came and sought God, the solution that God provided for healing the people of Israel was not a vaccine, it was not an antidote. It was, God told Moses, make a bronze serpent and stick it on a pole and raise it up. It was meant to represent Jesus. And God said, raise up the serpent and everybody who looks up to that bronze serpent will be healed. That's a miracle. Well, I mean, if you think about it, I got bitten by a snake, there is venom coursing through my veins, and the way to be healed is to fix my eyes on this thing at the end of a pole. But that was God's provision. And you simply had to have faith, and that's what faith was, to listen to God, follow his instructions, and things will be well to you. And so this solution was given. Anybody who looks up at the bronze snake would be healed. But if you remember, anybody who chose not to look at that bronze snake, but everybody who looked instead at their own wounds, what happened to them? They died. You can look up by faith and be saved, or you keep focusing on your problems and you die. And that's the Israelites. The law shows you that you have this poison within you that is called sin. God says, well, look up to Jesus, who is without sin, but made in the likeness of sin, and you will be saved. But instead of looking to Jesus, they focused on that snake bite, that law that exposes that they have sin, and they fixated on it and fixated on how do I fix this on my own. And that's what Paul is talking about here, that the law, they missed the point. The Israelites, they completely missed the point of what the law was meant for. And they misunderstood why God gave us the law. Now, it's easy when we take that next step, when we think of everyone doing what was right in his own eyes. Again, it's easy to associate that with people who don't know God. And it's easy when we think of people who are being ignorant of God's righteousness, as Paul writes, and seeking to establish their own righteousness. It's easy now, when we think of that, to pigeonhole that to just the Israelites. Right? And we so easily, when we encounter what the Scripture calls out to be problems, it's so easy to say, oh, yes, I see that problem. That's this person. Oh, yes, and I see this problem. That's that person. It's almost like we have a shield. Right? And the word of God is coming. It's like, pew, pew. And then we deflect it. We deflect it to other people. It's always meant for other people. All this time, we're thinking, none of this applies to me. Thank goodness. Like that Pharisee who was praying next to the tax collector. Thank you, God, that I am not like him. Thank goodness that I am perfect in your eyes. No, you're not, Pharisee. But that's us. That's us. And look, this applies to us. These words of God apply to us. They can be our problem if we're not careful. If we're not careful. It's too easy. It's all too easy to take the gospel, to take the word of God, and pick it apart, and take out the parts that you like, and observe those, and throw out the stuff that you don't like. You know, I remember once, I think this was maybe early college. I was back home with my folks during the summer, and I was being, what's the right word? I was being scolded, rebuked, disciplined. You know, just because you turn 18 doesn't mean your parents stop disciplining you. Anyways, see, I was being disciplined, and I remember my folks were having a stern word with me, and I remember I wanted to answer back with 1 Timothy 4:12. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Let no one despise your youth. Right? Don't talk down to me just because I'm younger than you. And I really wanted to answer back with that passage. Now, praise the Lord, I didn't have the reference memorized. And so I remember so clearly that afternoon, I'm in my room, I take out my Bible, dust it off, and I start. I knew it was in the Timothys. And I remember, I kid you not, I went through 1st and 2nd Timothy. Went through it 2 or 3 times. I couldn't find the verse. It's almost as if, and I think this is what happened, God would not allow me to see the verse. Because I wanted to conveniently take that and use it as a comeback against my folks. Because I didn't like being, you know, I'm young, but not that young. I'm an adult now, but you're older than me. Don't talk down to me just because I'm younger. I was refusing their discipline. Whereas instead of 1 Timothy 4:12, what I should have been focusing on was Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you in your days here on earth. Right? And this is what we do. We like to take the parts of Scripture that works for us at that moment and interpret it out of context sometimes, and we use it as a defense, as an attack sometimes. We pick and choose what works for us. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'm thinking of mistakes that we can make in how we try to establish our own righteousness. Sometimes, you know, we decide for ourselves what we feel is convenient in terms of what church is, right? It's very easy to say, you know what, as long as I feel connected with God, it's all good. I can be by myself out in the middle of nowhere, you know, going on a hike on Sunday morning, enjoying nature, and as long as I feel connected to God, then this is church. No, that's not. It's not. But it's so easy to twist things just enough so that it works for us. Look, I am thankful. I am so thankful that we were able to meet online this past year. And we're about to renew our Zoom license. When I got that email from Zoom saying, thank you for having been a subscriber, we're about to renew your license, and we will renew it again because we still use it. But I remember thinking, wow, it's been a year. And I am thankful for that technology and the ability to be able to meet online. But meeting online was never supposed to be the end solution. It was always, always supposed to be just a stopgap measure, right? And so to say that meeting online is a new way of meeting for church, to say that is like saying drinking Ensure is a new way of eating. How many of you know what Ensure is? It's these little drinks. It's a nutrition shake. It comes in different flavors. It comes in milk chocolate. I looked it up. It comes in milk chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, dark chocolate. And I didn't know this until when I looked it up this week. It also comes in butter pecan. Sounds delicious. I'm not getting paid for this from Ensure, by the way. But, I've had this shake. It's got, it contains 16 grams of good proteins and 27 essential vitamins and minerals, and it supplies 350 nutritious calories. This is all taken straight off their website. I don't think they're lying. I think it provides all these things, right? It's meant for people who maybe cannot eat, but need that the calories to keep their bodies going. They need the nutrition, so you drink this thing, glug, and you're done. And, I don't know if you... Oh, and it's gluten-free, it's halal, and it's kosher. I mean, what more could you want? What more could you ask for, right? Anybody can have this. And I don't know if you remember, when I was younger, I remember these science fiction books and whatnot that speak of the future where, your meal comes in a pill, right? You have this little pill, and you pop it in your mouth, and in some versions, when you let it dissolve, you can taste the food. And then you're full, and you have all the nutrition you need. And this is like that, but, in the form of a shake, right? It's got all the things you need, all the nutrients you need to survive. Now, yes, so if you want to say that meeting online is the new way for meeting for church, then I challenge you to also say that drinking Ensure is a new way of eating. Go out to Target, buy cases of this stuff, and drink this every meal of the day. And you've got five flavors to choose from, so it never gets monotonous. But drink this thick, sugary shake, and only that, every meal of the day. Come back to me in a month and tell me that this is the new way of eating. I don't know if you can last a week. It's not the same thing. It's good enough if you can't eat. It is a pale substitute, but it is not the same thing, right? And here's the thing. Under the guise of the pandemic and all these quote-unquote unprecedented times, we've allowed ourselves to dilute what the Bible teaches us about many things, one of which is meeting together, calling us to be together. And again, I get it. I'm not saying from March 22nd of 2020 until the last week of October of 2020 when we met online that all of that was a farce. No, it wasn't. We were still meeting together. It was the best that we could do. But it was never meant to be the final form of what church is. Okay? Now, look, maybe you feel like I'm dwelling on this topic a little too long today. But this is the thing. I worry about what the pandemic is doing to the church, to the greater, not just this church, but to the church with a capital C, the greater body of Christ across the world. Forget about the division that the political aspect of this pandemic has brought to the church, about people arguing about whether or not we should wear masks and different policies. You know, church leaders calling other church leaders cowards for not opening and meeting in person without protocols. I mean, that's. I'm gonna stop. If we just step back, right, putting aside all of that, just looking at our own lives and our own walk with God, I think each of us here this morning can probably find areas where we've allowed ourselves to become lax in our spiritual discipline in the name of the pandemic. Because this is what we can do now. And so we allow ourselves to relax a bit. We allow ourselves to take it easy a little bit. Again, I am not knocking on the things that we needed to do to stay safe, but there comes a point where that just becomes our de facto response. And then at some point, it becomes an excuse. Can you imagine 5 years later? I pray that this is over 5 years. But can you imagine 5 years later when the virus, yes, it's still within our ecosystem, but it's not what it is today. And somebody's still saying, yeah, I can't go to church in person because of the coronavirus. I can see it happening 5 years from now. And so we have to be very careful we have to be careful how we deal with the Word of God. We have to be careful how we understand it. We have to be careful how we live it out. Right? I worry that we're going to come out of this pandemic spiritually out of shape. Some of us are physically out of shape because we haven't been exercising. Don't laugh at John. Some of us are not as well as we should have been physically. I think many of us spiritually are not as well as we were. And look, that day when each of us stands individually before the judgment seat of God, how are we going to answer for how we spent these days? How are we going to answer for how we spent our lives? Will our twisted version of the gospel of the scriptures still stand before God Almighty? I don't think so. So we have to be careful. Look, if we keep reading in Romans 10, we find that when it comes to our faith and when it comes to righteousness, it's all very simple and straightforward. Actually, let's look at it. Romans 10, verses 9 to 10. Paul writes this, if you go to Sunday school, if you have at least 90% attendance at church, if you make it to at least half of the meetings midweek, if you pray at least five times a day, then you will be saved. No, he says, if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. That's it. And the two, we looked at this at the Bible study on Thursday, these two go hand in hand. Right? If you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. As far as our salvation is concerned, that's simple. The bar is low. And I think in the same way, this morning, if the Lord convicts you, even if it's just a little bit, if the Lord is speaking to you and convicting you of doing what is right in your own eyes, I only ask two things. If the Lord is speaking to you, and don't be hearing this for the person next to you, but if the Lord is speaking to you and convicting you of doing what is right in your own eyes, I ask two things. Number one, do not shut out His voice. Do not shut out His voice. I know when you hear rebuke. Can you imagine coming to God? Do not despise me because of my youth. When we hear rebuke, many times we don't like it. We want to What did the people do when Stephen convicted them? Remember, they plugged their ears, and then gnashed their teeth at him. We don't want to hear. I pray if the Lord is speaking to you this morning, do not block out His voice. And if He's speaking to you, as you hear Him pointing out areas in your life where maybe you're not doing okay, number one, don't shout out his voice. Number two, confess. Not to me. I don't need to know, unless you really want to talk to me about it. But confess to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I hear you, and I'm sorry that I've perhaps strayed a little bit or a lot. Help me come back to what is right. When there is reproof telling us where we've gone wrong, there needs to follow what? Correction. To come back to what is right. Otherwise, what's the point of knowing that we've gone wrong? And so if the Lord is speaking to anyone this morning, I pray that you don't shut out His voice. Hear. It's precious when the Lord speaks to you in His still, small voice. Listen and confess and say, Lord, forgive me for what I've done. Show me how to come back to what is right. Jesus, it's been a year. It's been a year, Lord, since the world's turned topsy-turvy. And I thank you that you continue to watch over us. I thank you that you continue to protect us, Lord. And I confess, we have tried our best. We have tried our best to navigate these circumstances. But Lord, this morning, I pray that you would speak to each person who is listening for your voice, Lord. Speak and show us where in our attempts to do what is right, perhaps we ended up doing what is right in our own eyes. I pray that your Spirit would do this work of revelation, and that we would be willing to hear, Lord, not for others, not as reproof and rebuke for others, but for ourselves, Lord. That we can hear your still small voice speaking to us, directing us, and leading us back to what is right. Help us, Lord. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us to love you more. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.